Okay, so we're going to be taking a break from Hilchos Shabbos, moving on to Hilchos Pesach, Simon Tav Chav Tes. The Chaver says, Sho'alim Hilchos Pesach Kodem Pesach Lo'am Yom. There's the Chanan Rabbanan. It's a question of what it means. Is it just if the person asks a question, so the rabbi would answer first, to Sho'al B'inyan, or there's actually an Inyan that the rabbi should actively be Doresh, Sho'alim Midorshin. Dorshin seems like here it's just the Chaver brings down the Sho'alim. So this is a din deravanan. It's a machlokes achronim if it applies only for Pesach. Pesach, of course, has many intricate halachas, so it makes sense. You need 30 days to prepare. How long do you have to prepare for Shavuos? Maybe only a couple of days. certainly, the minhag to be involved in learning the halachas exists by Pesach. It's a question if it applies to other Yom Tovim. Bahashtas is, as Mishra Bura points out, a couple of days would be sufficient when it comes to some of the other Chagim. There is another halacha that's not mentioned here about learning Hilchos Chag Bicha. That's the Gemara at the end of Maseches Megillah. There's some question about the relationship between the two. But either way, here we have the din of Shloshim Yom Kodem HaPesach. You're supposed to learn Hilchos Pesach. The Ramah brings down Minag Liknos Chitim L'chalkan L'aniyim L'tzorech HaPesach. There's a minag to give out wheat. Today, obviously, most people don't bake their own matzahs, so it's more helpful for the aniyim to get a check or to get cash, as opposed to getting chitin. But the original minhag was to give chitin. That was actually easier for them, because they wouldn't have to go shop to buy it. It was easier to give them chitin. It's an ancient minhag, appears in the Yerushalmi. I think it meant either flour or after it was ground. That's like the easiest. They can right away bake it. Once upon a time, tzedakah was more of a tax, and the community had the authority and the ability to impose the tax on the members of the community. And the question is, well, at what point are you considered part of the community? So if you move there, b'kfias, you're right away part of the community. But if you're just around, so you have to be there for 12 months in order for them to force. Obviously, today we don't have that dynamic. But it's still a very important mitzvah, and it's important to give it early enough that the aniyim can get it. If you give it Erev Pesach, it's too late. You have to start give it, you know, a few weeks in advance, so the aniyim could make use of the funds. Remember, Rav Lichtenstein once told us that an ani came to him, and before a few weeks before Pesach, he gave him what he thought was a nice donation. And the fellow complained, he said, listen, I eat shmura matzah, avodas yad, the whole yontif. So just the matzahs are going to cost me a couple of thousand shekel. So he asked him, who's your rav? He said, why ask my shas for Shlomo Zalman? So he said, why don't you ask for Shlomo Zalman if it's appropriate to shnur, you know, for tzedakah, for your chumras? Maybe it would make sense that, you know, if you're collecting tzedakah, you should eat shmura matzah for the Seder, but the rest of the time you shouldn't be in handmade shmura matzah. So the fellow said, yeah, I don't want to ask for Shlomo Zalman. I know he'll tell me not to collect for this. Okay, so again, obviously you want to help people, but they also have a certain responsibility to, you know. Okay. Fine. The Mishnah points out that, again, if we're talking 12 months, maybe 30 days would be sufficient, but again, the time's irrelevant today. Fine. Beis Einoflim al Pneihem B'chol Chodesh Nisan. We don't say Tachnun the entire month. We don't say Tzitzchatzka on Shabbos. We only say days where you otherwise would say Tachnun. The Mishnah Berurah explains that we don't say Tachnun because the days of Pesach are Yontif, and also the days of the Korbanos and Nesiim is another 12 days from Rosh Chodesh onwards. So you already have most of the month. So once you have most of the month, you don't say Tachnun. You don't say Tachnun the whole month. The Mechaber continues in Maspidinbo. We don't do Haspedim. This is an issue because people often want to say something when their loved ones pass away. So if somebody dies in Nisan, you can't say Hesped. So the minhag, I think, developed that people say like Divrei Preda. It's not really, they try not to make people cry. They're not trying not to have it so long, but they say something. The Pasha says you shouldn't say anything. It's just, it's very hard. Like, if it's Yontif, okay, don't say anything. It's Yontif. But Nisan is not the same level. I think the minhag developed, many people say Divrei Preda, which, like I said, isn't supposed to help other, make other people cry like our Hesped should, and it's not supposed to be very long. But the people do say things generally. You don't fast in Rosh Chodesh, in Chodesh Nisan. You don't mention, right? The Shmur says, "Ein maskiri na tainis b'tzibur." Kol makom yochid shenagi samis b'ha mutter. So it's mutter. It's a fast. We don't, according to the Mechaber, but we follow the Rama, who says you shouldn't fast at all. So according to the Mechaber, it's just that you shouldn't have like a public announcement of a fast. B'choris b'tani boy er pesach tainis b'choris is a whole simon about it later. There is a concept of tainis b'choros, which today many people don't actually fast. It's hard to fast their Pesach than to go to the Seder on an empty stomach. So people try to viyotze through a Sudas Mitzvah, and then they don't have to fast. Okay, the Seder. There is a discussion about a chasan and a kala on the day of their wedding. There's a minhag to fast. Well, let's read the Rambam first. Likewise, at a levaya, the nagush ain mis ani bol tainis klal. Afil yom shemes aviv imo. Even for instance, yard site, the litzvish minag is to fast on a yard site. It's a day of tshuva. The chassidim often, you know, throw a kiddush or have a tikkun, and the svardim also the brachos ilin neshama. But the minag of the Ashkenazim, the original minag of the Ashkenazim, is to fast. So you don't fast if the yard site is in Nisan. Well, tainis chalom mis ani. It's pressing. A person had a bad dream. They feel like they want to fast for tshuva. Today, most of us don't fast tainis chalom, because we have a lot of exposure to the media. So you hear about all these sorts of calamities that happened. So the assumption is the dream is just, you know, in your subconscious, connected to the news report that you read that day about some hurricane in the, you know, in the Far East. And not connected to some type of echad v'meya shal nevua or shish shal nevua or something like that. So with the minhag is most people don't fast tainis chalom, but if a person is so inclined, he's allowed to. If you know him, mizvah l'soda, kel erech apayim v'lmaseach v'erech pesach v'l'yom tov. You don't say Mizvah Soda. Mizvah Soda is connected to the Korban Toda. The Korban Toda had 40 breads, and some of which were chametz. Generally, in the Mikdash, there weren't korbanos that were chametz. You know, there are a few exceptions. Lachmi Toda. and there are other exceptions, but since it's a virtual akrava, so we don't bring an erev pesach, so you can't eat chametz. You don't want to bring it in the same in the morning, but the korban is kosher that whole day, 2 days. So mela, we don't say mishul soda on pesach or an erev pesach. When hagin lahas k'sas v'achilav v'shtiyav yom achar achag v'hu isru chag. Very interestingly, the Mechaber here, the very beginning of Pesach, tells you what you do at the end of Pesach. At the end of Pesach, there's an inyan to be marbe v'achila v'shtiya, and it's called Isru Chag. It's a Gemara in Sukkah at the end of Lulav HaGazel. And according to Rashi, it's one opinion that they're talking about having, not on Yontif, but having achila v'shtiya after Yontif. And that's where the concept of Isru Chag comes in. So like I said, it's an interesting placement for the Rama. Pardon? Yes. The Lachmi Toda were chametz. Yeah. Meaning you don't wanna bring Lachmi Toda because you shouldn't bring a korban. It's gonna become doser. You can eat bagels on Erev Pesach, but you shouldn't. These are kachim. So if you don't eat it, it'll be come no sir. We don't want to maybe they no sir. So therefore, we don't say mizvah l'soda on erev Pesach, even though you could still eat chametz erev Pesach. But the zman achila of korban toda is it's only one day, right? It's only one day till that until. So you don't want to have. And tziva is a very nice pshat. The korban toda is a very large korban, arba'im l'chamim. So you can't eat it yourself. It's limited. It's supposed to most shlamim that is 2 days. It's only 1 day. So you're forced to have a lot of people come, and they're going to ask, "Why do you have so many lachmi toda?" You say, "Oh, an ace happened to me." V'kulei. It's a way of giving hoda, sudas hoda. In any case, we don't say mishul soda on erev Pesach. It's not, again, if a friend said it, it's not like the end of the world. It's just a virtual akrov. It's not that he actually has chametz that he, but that's our minhag. We don't say it. In terms of fasting, I mentioned that there's a discussion of a chasan mekala. Are they allowed to fast? It says we don't fast for a yahrzeit. The Mishmaru says the Chazon Kala can fast. And even on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, where we generally don't fast, there's another siman later in Shulchan Aruch that sounds like there's Indian dafka to fast on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But the Mitzvah is that they're different in Hagim. Some are making not to fast, and some say that you should fast unless you're very weak. A different minhagim. Okay. Questions, comments. Moving on to Siman Tav Lamed. Shabbos in the Pesach Chodesh Shabbos Hagadol Lifnei Shanei Shanasibu. The Shabbos for Pesach is called Shabbos Hagadol. What was the Nes? They took the Kfasim. The Kfasim were the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrayim, and they saw they were going to take the Shechtim. Right? According to the Mesorah of Chazal, Yetzias Yisrael took place on Thursday, and Shabbos Gadol was Yud, right? Yud Nisan? Does that make sense? Either way, the Nes Gadol happened in Shabbos Gadol. The other explanations, some say Gadol is connected to the drushas the Rav gives. He gives a long drushas, the Shabbos Gadol. And some say the Pashas is the Haftorah, right? In the Haftorah, but then the Malachi, Hini Anachi Shalach Lechem, etc. We say, Bo Yom HaGadol Vanora. So that's the Pashas. It's called Shabbos Gadol because of the Haftorah. Some want to say it's Lashon Sagi Nohar. Just like we say Kiddush Rabbah in the morning, it's a small Kiddush. It's not the big Kiddush. Big Kiddush is at night. We say, we don't have a Mekadosh Shabbos in the morning. We just say a Geffen. It's called Kiddush Rabbah with Lashon Sagi Nohar. Some want to say it's Shabbos Gadol with Lashon Sagi Nohar because nobody cooks for Shabbos Gadol. You eat the leftovers. You know, Shabbos Gadol. Okay. Fine. In any case, there is a concept called Shabbos Gadol, and so the Ramah brings that. Vimina Glomar, Vimincha Gadol, Vitchil, Savani, Vimina, Vachafir, Alkol, Vaseinu, Poskim, Glomar, Barakinavshi. So the Ramah brings down there was a minhag in Ashkenaz to read part of the Haggadah on Shabbos Hagadol. The Gra is very against this minhag. He thinks that it's wrong. You know, Yachal Rosh Chodesh. We don't do the Sipur before the Leil Seder. Only at night. Only the Leil Seder. So there are different minhagim. It's always a good idea to go over the Haggadah to find ideas to say the Divrei Torah, but to have an actual Kriya of the Haggadah. The Gra was against. I think the minhag is not like the Rama. I think the minhag of Ashkenazim today is that we don't do this, but there is such a minhag that the Rama brings down. And he also discusses this minhag of Pirkei Avos versus Barchi Nafshi, that some places, even today, in the winter, they say Barchi Nafshi and Tillim after Mincha, and after Pesach, they say Pirkei Avos. So that's also mentioned here in the Rama, and there are places where people do have this minhag. Okay. Tov Lamed Aleph. Vidigas Chametz, Bitrilas Zman Yodalit Vinizan Votkin is a Chametz or an air, Bukhorim is talking. Vchola Makomo Shaderech Lachnis Sham Chametz. So there is Minatora and Isser of Vali Roy Vali Matze. And there are different ways to get rid of that Isser. One way is to do Biur, to get rid of the Chametz. Now you have to know where it is. You have to do Bidika, Bidika and Biur. The other way, of course, is to do bittul. Bittul ba'al masagi, that the Gemara says, the minudaraisa, if you're mevatel l'chametz, it's also sufficient. But it seems like we were concerned that if you're just mevatel l'chametz, maybe you'll see a gluskanoa, maybe you'll see some chametz and you might eat it or you might hold on to it. So if we're memela, we tell you to do both bittul and bedika and beer. So here the Mechaber discusses the zman of the bedika's chametz, which is going to bring us to the beer the next day. So the bedika, the kind of bedika is leil. Yodal v'nitzan, right? Or Labaz, the first Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim. Now, obviously, most of us live in homes. I think all of us live in big homes, even here in the Gros Kol. So you're not going to just, you know, suddenly start looking for chametz leil yodal. You have to prepare beforehand, and that's perfectly fine. It's mentioned later in the Ramah, in Taf Lamed Gimel, that the minhag was to prepare the house beforehand. But still, there's a tekiyuv, a takanas chazal, even though the house is pesedik for the past 2 days, you know, and you already have cooking chicken soup, and, you know, you're probably not eating matzah, because most of us are minhag not to eat matzah, you know, before Pesach. Er Pesach is also, but even, you know, many people are minhag from Shchodesh, some from Purim. But either way, the house is pesedik, you still have a takana to do a bedika. Fine. There is a question: to what extent does the person have to actually, you know, be botik b'chorim tzedakim today if your house is Pesach? And I think the minhag is that people don't do such a thorough bedik on l'bedik on l'bedik because they already checked the botik b'chorim tzedakim for the past 3 weeks, and now they already turned their house Pesach dik. And so they do a bedik. It shouldn't be like a tour of your house. It shouldn't take 10 minutes, but it doesn't have to take hours and hours. So we're Gdol Yisrael who spent hours cleaning their homes on Lel Pesach, even though they cleaned everything. But I think the minhag is that to do a moderate bedik, not a super macher bedik, but to be yotzei the kanas hazal to check. We're going to discuss that again hopefully soon. In any case, it seems like from the Lashon Mechaber, Tchilas Lel Yudalid, that the takana was to do it at the beginning of the night. And there is a question, is that just within Zrizin Mekdino Mitzvos? Or is it really, like the Mishnah says, Or La Vasar, that there's like an inin to do it at the beginning of the night. The mitzvah was nitzka to do it at the very beginning of the evening. So there are already shown him who learned that the minag, that the halacha is supposed to start at the very beginning, not just within Zrizin, that the takana is to do it at the beginning of the night. This has ramifications, you know, in terms of davening marav. The minig is people daven marav first. But if you have a later minyan, maybe it would be actually better, you know, if you're to do it to at the beginning. Either way, after marav, you shouldn't wait. You should try to do it as soon as you can. The minig is to do it at the beginning of the night. Again, you have to wait for people to come. You don't want to, you know, exclude people. But there are cheretz, you're yotze all night, and you can say a bracha all night. But at the end of the day, you're supposed to try to do it as early as you can. And this also, okay. The Mechaber says that you do it l'or haner. This is a very interesting question. You know, we have today, past, you know, 100 years or so, the ability to use a flashlight. So, should you use a flashlight? What do people do here? Anybody flashlights? So many, some people are very traditional. In the Hasidim, you know, hardcore. The problem is that it's very hard to do bedika with a candle because you don't want to burn things. So the Gemara speaks about the avuka being bad because that's going to burn things. But for us, we're not used to having candles in the clouds. You got to check under your couch with a candle. You're not going to want to do that. So there are many poskim, Moshe Feinstein and others, who say that no, you should use a flashlight. Flashlight is even better. I should mention that Ravadi doesn't hold that way. Ravadi, the Sfaradim, I think, holds it's a takana. It's maybe learned from Sukkim, Echapes, Shushan, Benero, Sukkim, the beginning of Sagan. So there are poskim who say that no. And some people have a pshara. This is what I do. I start off with a candle for a few minutes, and then I move on to a flashlight. And that way, you know, I certainly was yotze because I did part of the bedika with a candle. At the same time, I don't start checking under my sofa with a candle because I'm not going to do that. You know, you start checking your car with a candle. It's not really shaykh. So I also try to have the flashlight to be not like an avuka. It's probably a chomer v'alma to have like, you know, one solid light as opposed to having these like sometimes these like emergency lights that have like, you know, lots of different lights. It's more like an avuka type of flashlight. It's one single beam of light to use that type of flashlight. Maybe it's a chomer. I'm not really sure. In any case, there is a interesting halachic discussion about leaving the lights on. What do people do? People leave the lights on or they turn off the lights?
I grew up turning off.
Yeah, many of I still grew up turning off. But I saw a lot of people saying, no, why do you have to turn it off? It's more comfortable to do bedika with the lights on. And the ora ner or the ora panas, whatever you're using, will help you get under the sofa and in the nooks and crannies. But when you turn things off, now the counter argument is no. When it's all dark and you flash the light in one area, it's more, you know, it's more nicker. You want to check the crumbs, so it's more nicker. But I think that for most people, it's very hard to do bedika when lights are off. We're used to having lights on. You know, in our day and age, we always have lights on. So the passage says you're allowed to leave lights on, but you still have to use or an air or a panas. You know, if you think that's sufficient. In any case, they're different minhagim. Everybody can follow. You shouldn't yotze if you turn the lights off. The question is that ideal? I think whatever it makes you check more better is ideal. So I think for most people, leaving lights on would be really the way to go. Okay. Questions, comments?
The ideal is you want your kids to have more fun.
Having fun is also a part of it. But I think you have fun even if the lights are on. I don't know if it's a stira. Yizayir kol adam shel haskel v'shul malacha v'lo yochal ad sheyivdok afilu yesh eis kavua lumad lo yimad ad sheyivdok. Person shouldn't be involved in some type of malacha or you start eating, even learning. V'im hiskel lumad v'od yom ein tzarech lafsik. When it comes to malacha and achila, even a half an hour before tzeisak hakamim, you have to abstain. When it comes to learning, so if you started learning before, you're allowed to keep on learning. Presumably, if you're learning in shul, they're not going to. Again, the final question is it because you're going to forget totally, or is it because we want to do it at the earliest possible point? Like I mentioned before, maybe part of the takana is to do it betchilas le'al yadar, as the mechaber says. And the question is, can a shomer help? You know, you want to eat dinner, you'll set an alarm clock. So it's about forgetting. So I have an alarm clock, just like I daven ma'ariv later in the evening because I have an alarm clock. The minhag is that many people don't daven right away when it gets dark. They daven at 10 o'clock because they have an alarm clock that's set and they're on watch at 9:55. The alarm clock goes off, then you remember to go to Mav Marav. So the question is this more than that? You'd say, Kriyash Maz Daraisa, this is just in Jerabanan. But no, maybe this is unique. This is a special takana to do with Tchilas Halayla. So we don't want you to, if you're involved in eating or in Malacha, other things are going to distract you, because then even if you do it later, you won't do it with Tchilas Halayla. And there's a special mitzvah here, apparently, according to some, to do it at the beginning of the evening. Questions, comments?
So is the conclusion here that it really seems to be that it's a din
tefillah? Yeah, the pashtus is that you should try to do it at the beginning of the night. We still daven ma'ariv, you know, if you daven bizman usually, even if you don't, if it's more convenient, you know, you can daven ma'ariv, but you shouldn't be doing other things because there's an in to do with tefillahs. Le'al Yadal, as the Mechaber says, it's really Lashon HaMishnah, right? Or Le'al Yadal. Okay. Fine. The Ramas, I should mention, we're learning, V'im Hiskel Lilmod, V'od Yom, Intarek Lafzik, V'yesh Omrim, Shatarek Lafzik, V'chein Yir Le'ikr. So, even though we allow you to start learning within a half an hour before, once this man comes, we tell you, you shouldn't be learning, you should stop learning and do the mitzvah and then learn after. It's you know, it was a different door. People had to be told to stop learning. Today it's you know, if people are looking for an excuse, stop learning. Wonderful, stop learning. Okay, fine. You know, the whole thing getting carried away. It's like a little bit of a different reality. Like even a suda, or even you know, usually people don't get so carried away. I don't know. I mean, it could be malacha. Like if a person's like tax season usually. So if you're like doing your taxes, like in the middle of your taxes, you might get carried away. Like in here, but. Fine. And most of our suddas aren't like so elaborate that you get carried away. But fine. The pashtus is you can take a snack. Meaning, right, if I'm mistaken, you can take a snack, right? The issue is a sudda, no? Just one second. It says over here, Lo Yochel. It says maybe that you half an hour before. Uh-huh. Maybe you even should take a snack. Okay. Interesting. Fine.
Mishnah Berurah now. Hey, says, did you have it? You can check during the day.
Well, I mean, we're gonna see. There's a simon that if you didn't check at night, you can check it the next morning. You're talking about the earlier before.
No, I just mentioned that you don't.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes shachach leave like malayla, and the next day you have to check that 100%. It's a fourish later in the mechaber. Okay. Sometimes it happens. You know, a person has an office. The office is closed at night. So he can't, he doesn't have the key. So he'll check the next morning, you know, before this man of the beer. Okay. The mechaber says, Tav Lama Beis, Kodem, interesting lashon. You're saying the bracha on the beer. What are you doing? You're doing the bedika. And apparently, there's a connection between the beer and the bedika. The bedika is there in order to do the beer the next morning. So you say a bracha like any other din drabanan. We say the nusach al beer because that's the end of the mitzvah. We don't say a bracha on the bittul because the bittul is belayv and there's no maisa. Now, like in general, when a person does a mitzvah but forgot to say a bracha, if they're continuing the mitzvah, they can still say a bracha. Person put on the talis, didn't say a bracha. If he's still wearing it, he can still say the bracha. Same thing here. If you didn't say the bracha before the bedikah, if you're in the middle of the bedikah, you're still checking, you can still say the bracha. Obviously, l'chatchila you say over l'siyasa. If you already finished the v'dika and then you realize you didn't say a bracha, there's a machlokas if you can say the bracha the next morning when you destroy the chametz, because after all, the nuzach is, I'll be your chametz. So the Mishmur says it's better not to, but if you want to say a bracha, you can. In mochim v'yada, I would assume for Sephardim, it would be something like brachas l'chatchila. You wouldn't say, they're much more machmer. I'm not sure how often the Sabbath, usually people have their Haggadah, and it says, say a bracha, people say a bracha. Fine. If you have to live a bracha, you've already called his man, Shalosim, because of Yezayah, Shaladavi, Bain Bracha, the Chatika, Tchila Sabadika. You should be careful not to talk before you begin. The bracha has to be chal on something. You start checking a little bit. So once you started, so there's no iser to be mafzik. Our minhag is to try not to be mafzik unless it's necessary. You know, if a person shouldn't take a phone call stam. But if you, I don't know, you went to the bathroom, you say ashayatzar. You know, if you certainly are allowed to talk in and avidika, some people delegate, they have their kids or they have their relatives. Do bedikas in different parts of the home, so you can ask, did you check that room yet? What about over here? You know, okay. So that's certainly permissible. That wouldn't be a hefsik. Even before you started, it wouldn't be a hefsik, but obviously it's better to say the bracha and right away start, not to be mafsik, even in a bedika. But if you were mafsik in a bedika, it wouldn't be a hefsik either. Base. Bracha achas yochol yifsok kama batim. First, you can say one bracha. And then check his home, and check his car, and check his office. The Balabais can appoint members of his family or other people to be shlichim, to check. So usually the family gets together, the Balabais is the bracha, and then every kid checks his knapsack, and every kid checks his room. And there's a discussion in the halacha, can you rely on children? A lot of people are otherwise not necessarily so careful. It's all tircha here. And mikra didn't we hold this mutter, because it's only drabanan, the tikka is only drabanan, so we're somich on children. Usually, children are very makbid, they're excited about doing the mitzvah properly. But it seems like it's better, you have to make sure that the kid's actually going to do it. Meaning, certainly in our case, where usually the whole home is already checked, so the whole thing is a little bit of a, it's like a little bit of pella. We have a tachanas salah, so we do it. But it's a chiddush that we have to do it. It's not so obvious. It's far, because everything is checked. So, but there's always more places to check. No matter what you check, the people, we have big homes. So there's always an extra area that wasn't checked, well enough, etc. So it's certainly, anyway, the maisa, it's good to get the kids involved in the mitzvah and to delegate. And to give them responsibility. It's educationally valuable, and it's also easier for the Baal Bais. It's not to check everywhere himself. If ignorant in the shulchan, don't have to hear the bracha, but it's better that they hear the bracha, the biyotze with the bracha. And then after you finish, and you found all the chametz, you have to put it in a very designated place so it doesn't get lost. Otherwise, you're going to have to do the whole thing again if you're worried, that it's going to get lost. Achbar is going to come and take it away. You have to do the bedikah again. Ragin laniach petite chametz v'makom sheimetzeim habode kedei shelo yeh birchazul v'atala. So there's a minhag brought down to put chametz in the home. Some people have minhag Kabbalah to put 10 pieces of chametz. The chametz, at least one of the pieces, should be should be as big as a kazayis, because the whole point here is that we want to find something. Because if you don't find anything, you're not going to do any biur. If you're not going to do any biur, there's a shayla if it's a bracha levatala. Ikra didn't sound a bracha levatala because the mitzvah is to check. But even if you don't find anything, but out of deference to that opinion, so we say we make sure to have some chametz. It's also sometimes like the younger kids are involved in placing the chametz, and the older family members, check. And sometimes it gives them a little more, it's more geschmack for the, to actually look. It gives them like a push, because if everything anyway is Pesach Dik, there is some chametz here, let's look here, look there. And it's very important that the balabasta, whoever is helping the kids, writes down where the comment is, because sometimes you have the kids who have such good hiding spots, and then they fell asleep or they forgot, and then you have the tzaras. So it's a good idea to have it written down to know exactly where it is, so in case you can't find it, you'll be able to locate it after. So as the Rama writes explicitly, that if you didn't have chametz, if you didn't find any chametz, it's not a bracha levatal. As you mentioned, that when people do a bedikah earlier, if they're not going to be home lel yudalit, there's still a mitzvah to do a bedikah versus leaving yud nisan. So you do a bedikah without a bracha. Do you put the, you still have to use aron there, you're supposed to do all the dinim. Do you also have the minhag of the 10 pieces? There are different days about that. Some people do put them, other people don't. I don't think there's a clear hachra about that issue. Okay. Moving on to Simon Tov Lamed Gimel. Din v'dikas ha-chamet. Ha-vedikas shak sh'tia l'or ha-ner v'lo l'or ha-levana. As mentioned before, the v'dikas was to be l'or ha-ner. V'im avar v'lo balak l'el yudalit sh'vot yom yudalit l'ivdok l'or ha-chama el l'or ha-ner. So if you didn't check at night, you should check in the morning, as mentioned before. But you should still use a candle, because even by day, the candle helps in the nooks and crannies. Aksadra sha'ora rav. Aksadra is a structure that's three walls. So one wall is totally open. Imagine a person has a, you know, theoretically, if you have a glass wall, it would be the same thing. It's a very, or if you have light, some poskim say that today, everything is aksadra. Today, if you check by day, you don't need a light. You don't need a candle, because we have so much light. And the truth is, even when the lights are on, the nooks and crannies, like, for example, look in this room. See over there, or the bookshelves, it's a little bit darker. The lights are coming down. If you had a panas, you had a nair, you'd be able to get into the, you know, under the desks, you know, the shadow that the desk is providing under, you know, would be, make it a little harder. If you have a nair under, it's easier to see. So there is an inyan to use or a nair even by day. But aksadra, you don't need it. So fashas, everything we have today would be the equivalent of aksadra. It wouldn't be necessary, but off in the middle, it's probably better to use an or an air even by day. It's so much light, you don't need to use or an air. So, like I said, I think most people today, if they check, let's say you go into a hotel in the middle of Pesach. So it's a question if you really have to check, because the Pashas hotel checked before. I don't know if they did Vedika, but they kept it clean. But it can't hurt to look, you know, in the closet and enter the hotel room just to see what's going on. But do you really need or a nair? I don't think it's such a good idea to light a nair in the hotel room. Do you need a flashlight? Even then, Pashas is you have a lot of light in the room. Maybe in the closet talking would be helpful, but in most places it's not really necessary. Maybe under the bed. Okay. Base. In both in the ora vuka el ora ner, v'lo v'ner shel chela v'lo shel shuman v'lo shel shemen el v'ner shel shava. You can't use an avuka because then you're going to be afraid to put it in the nickel crannies. You use a ner, and it shouldn't be a ner that's chela, that's treif. You're going to be afraid to bring in your pots and pans. And you don't want to, you know, get things dirty with the shaman, etc. You should be dafka shava. V'ad yachidi. Aval shtei neiros v'yachad afilu kluim dinam kavuka. If there are two wicks, every day is dinam kavuka. So the minigans use one single neir. Like I said, many have the minig today to use a flashlight, but there are those chasidim and also sfarim who are still hold on to the original minig to use dafka or a neir. You know, it's hard to imagine that you're not yotze if you use or in there. It's a takana, it's a kind of skandal. At the same time, the reality is it's going to be very hard. Most people are just not comfortable with carrying a candle around their house because they're afraid things are going to start getting on fire. We're just not used to carrying candles so much. So I think the eights, like I said before, of starting with a candle and moving to a panas might be a safe bet. Others say that straight up, just use a panas. All you need is a flashlight. Different approaches. Okay. Gimel. Bodei kol makomos sheyesh v'hem lachos she'machnis min chametz. You only have to check places that you might have chametz. Now, there's very much a function of your home and your lifestyle. People with young kids, the kids might bring chametz all around the house. Some people who are very makbid, they don't eat out of their kitchen. They don't eat out of their kitchen. They don't have any, you know, they don't have to worry. Again, maybe from the doorway to the kitchen, but like, you know, they have to bring the chametz into the house. But, you know, they don't eat in their bedroom. It's a function of your habits. If you have, you know, habits that create places that are free of chametz, so you don't need to check. He's talking about a person has some type of machsan. She'ein mistavik v'hem v'chein mitabein matbein chiyotzim einam tzrichin v'dika. Today it really depends. If a person has like a shed behind their house, so they probably don't have any chametz there. So that, you know, their garage, most people have like a fridge in their garage, they have chametz in the garage, so then they would have to. In my machsan, it's like a very narrow machsan. And right at the beginning I have like a fridge, and like I have some shelves where I put like wine and other things. But the rest of the machzan is like, you know, sukkah, Pesach kelim, and like bikes. Like I don't go more than like 2 feet into the machzan. So like, I thought misvara, I would check the first 2 feet. Check the, you know, the freezer area, and check the shelves where I actually do keep some food items. But I'm not going to start going in, you know, it's a long and narrow machzan. I don't have to, you know, it's hard to get in there, b'chol, but you know, because I wouldn't bring chametz all the way down. I just bring chametz to the first 2 feet. It's a little later in the Shulchan Chaver. It talks about the case of the barrels, a similar type of reality. Okay. I should mention that it's also a good idea to check the Pesach products. Unfortunately, sometimes, even though stores make every effort to keep things separate, some of those things are mislabeled or put in the wrong places, especially if you have non-Jewish workers. So like, they'll put the crackers in the Pesach aisle and you'll go Pesach shopping and you'll buy crackers. You know, again, that's an extreme example. But I've seen places with my own eyes that in Pesach aisles, non-Pesach products. Mm-hmm. So in addition to checking your home for chametz, that might be, you know, under, again, what are you looking for? You're looking for something that's a kazayis. You make it in the perurim of a talim. So you don't need to be so concerned about perurim unless they're going to get into your food. So perurim in the kitchen, you have to be very concerned about. But perurim under your bed, bigger than their bottle. Again, the Marbina, people go a little bit overboard. They take Pesach and they turn it into spring cleaning. That's really not necessary. Again, if you want to do spring cleaning, great. But if it's going to make you stressed out, which usually does, forget it. It's not, you know, do spring cleaning in Shavuos. Pesach, just get rid of the chametz. You know, it's stressful enough without the added spring cleaning. But the point I'm making is that you have to check for chametz, so not for dirt. A, and B, the chametz might be in your kitchen, because that's where where it's more problematic. So checking the Pesach products, going through just to make sure that everything is beseder, it could be a wise thing to do if you think there's a concern that maybe things were mixed up. Okay. Fine. Chore habayis v'zizim bodim yikos olim inam gvoim harbeim nuchim harbeim. So places where they're accessible to you, where you might have left things, then you have to check. About gvoim, any other magasma, if you have something very high up, you're not going to put something in a nook and cranny that's, you know, 7 feet up. Most people are 8 feet up. Most people can't reach there. It's very low. It's not so comfortable. Again, if there are kids, you never know. You know, somebody told me here in Eretz Yisrael, so in the apartment buildings, there's like a Aron Chashmal, I guess in America also, right? There's like a electric box. So people like leave their keys in the electric box. So kids, you know, sometimes leave their sandwiches. Like your mother makes you take a sandwich to school, you don't want it, you put it in the electric box. So like, you know, if you have kids like that, so then you have to check the electric box. You know, most people don't have to check the electric box. There's no concern that they left chametz in the electric box. It's really a function of how you, okay. Fine. Hey, Gag ha'yatzia v'amigdol shegagem shupayim u'pnei kach ein gagem u'yim nusum shum tashmish einam shikim v'dika afilo ein pitzal kabayit. So a person has a usable roof, so then there's a concern if he went to the roof, he was eating crackers. If nobody goes up to the roof, you only go up to the roof to fix the air conditioner, to do shemesh, you never go to the roof, so then it's not a place where people bring chametz, and therefore you're not, you're not, you don't need to check those places. Excuse me. The Mishmaror points out that if you have a place where you're concerned there might be chametz, but it's just hard to check, so you can just close that place off and sell it to a goy. So people do that as well. They don't want to check certain areas, so they rely on the mechiras chametz, so they can sell those areas that are hard to check to a goy. There's a whole discussion, you know, because the mechira kicks in when only in the morning of Yudalit. The chiyuv tzedikah is already in the evening of Yudalit. So there's what's known as the mechiras yud gimel, where people sell everything in gimel to obviate the need for tzedikah. I'm not sure what the Mishavura means here when he says it's Sifzalan Chav Gimel at the end. Vasher Tircha Maruba Nirash Yesh L'Hakel L'Yedei Shemukar Nochri Oso Makom Gamken Im HaChamed Sheyesh Sham. Does he mean you have to do Mechir Yisrael Gimel? That would be more glat. It really wasn't yours. Or does he mean, no, listen, this is a place where anyway you're not really sure there's Chameitz and it's hard to get to and you know there's a Mechir tomorrow morning, so you can just rely on that. And so I think many people do that as well. I'm not so sure how glad it is, but I think the minhag is because anyway, it's like it's back in your machzan. There's probably no chametz there, you know. So it's hard to get there. And you're doing a mechira, so you'll include it in the mechira. I guess you'd have to close off your machzan for Pesach then. But let's say you didn't do a mechira to gimel. You did a mechira to dalal in the morning, a regular mechira. But still, you wouldn't have to check there at night because you're planning on selling it the next morning.
Concern is a retroactive.
Your chiv is at night. You have a chiv right now. And you're not fulfilling your chiyuv, but you know you're going to sell it tomorrow morning. So Mela,
right, it's like, oh, I don't really shut that room because I'm going to burn the chametz from that.
Exactly. So, okay. Fine. Let's see if we can do a little more. Vav. Refesh al bakar eino soich bedika. So again, most of us don't have animals, but if you have a barn, so presumably there's no chametz. There's shim hayashav chametz v'hem yichlu. So if there's chametz, the animals are going to eat it. If they eat chametz, the animals are going to eat the chametz. The birds will eat it. So if you think there might have been chametz, and there are also animals, so say if that, you can see the animals ate it. If you know there's chametz there, then you have to actually check. Well, come on, say, hey, before the mutual harshly chametz b'makom she'ovitz b'tzuyin kol shekin she'in tzarech l'vayer fil chametz v'adai. So the Rama says, no, even if it's v'adai chametz, if you assume the animals eat them, you can assume the animals taka ate the chametz. The Mishmur here, Chavches, discusses the halacha of throwing chametz to a place of hefker. Before this man iser, we do this all the time. If you have a lot of chametz, you have to burn, you know, two boxes full of chametz, or can you just throw it out before this man iser? So you have to burn some of it. You don't have to burn all of it. So similarly, if you throw it out in a public garbage, that would be fine. You're mafkir essentially. You still have a mitzvah to burn. We tried our minhag is to burn, so we try to burn some of it. You don't have to burn all of it. But there is a discussion. People live in home places where there isn't like a public garbage. It's more like the garbage people come and collect from your rishus. So you have a garbage can on your property. Is that enough? You're mafkir it, but it's in your rishus. Maybe there's still chashash of Shem Yochal. It's hard to imagine going to your garbage can to take it out, but it's still there. You certainly meant it. The question is, the issue with bittul is like, you maybe didn't mean it, or maybe you might eat. So you certainly meant it. You're throwing it out. In terms of Shem Yochal, maybe there's a concern that somebody's going to, you know, get second thoughts. You know, he's realizes he's not going to have crackers the whole week, so he's going to go reach into the garbage and take out the crackers. It's not so likely, but there is such a discussion. Mikra din is probably mutter, but I think we try to get rid of the chametz. This is a big issue when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. So you can't burn the chametz. You can put it in the toilet. It's hard to flush down huge amounts of chametz. So people like just throw out. So if there's an Erev, not a problem. But if there's no Erev, what do you do? So you put the chametz in your garbage, it's in your rishos. So is that okay? So we try not to do that. We try to. You could be pogim. If you pogim it, then it's okay. But the question is it necessary to pogim it? So it's not clear if it's necessary. The minhag is there's an in-between case where a person lives in a garbage in a building where it's like a garbage chute. So it's a shared property, but like the garbage chute is already out of your realm. You can't reach it. Like usually, often it's like locked. The room is locked. You can't really get to it. So you're already in vatlit, and there's no shem yochal. So if Ashes Mikra, then they would be okay to do that on Shabbos, to throw it down. You know, I'm told that today in the modern buildings you can't use a garbage chute anymore because everything's electric. But when I lived in America, there was a garbage chute. You just threw it, you just put it down the chute. It was like a different world. Everything was electric. I don't know if that's true. Maybe it depends where you live. But okay, fine. The Seder. Pets, you can't own a chametz that is roi lachilas kelev.
So I'm saying the heter of the animals eating your chametz. He said it's a sapik, not a badai.
So it's brought down here that it's mutter, right? Is the Ramah it's mutter?
I'm saying it applies for pets nowadays. If you have a cat, you know, and there's a room that if something has chametz, you can rely on the fact that your cat.
I mean, do cats eat chametz? I don't really know. I mean, I think tarnigolim eat chametz. I don't know if cats eat chametz. I don't know the cat. Anybody know? Okay. Yeah. Fine. Usually the animals cause more problems, not really solutions. Like the achbar is going to take the chametz from one place to another place, and then like you're not sure where. You know. Okay. Fine. Let's continue. Zayin, chor shevein Yehudi l'chaveiro, kol echad vodek ad mokom sheyado magas. If you have two neighbors, there's like a wall in between them, so they kind of stick their hands in as far as they can. What's in the middle, you can do bitul. Shevein Yehudi l'ein Yehudi. If you have a neighbor who's a goy, tzarech l'vdika loy tzarech l'vdikla. You don't have to check. Shami yomek shavim who also leave. V'nimsa bali de'sakana. There was a concern that if you start, you know, we have a candle at night, you're going, the goyim are going to say, what's this guy doing? What's this Jew doing? Maybe he's going to think that he's doing kshafim. You know, next thing you know, you have a blood libel and, you know, a pogrom. So they didn't require to bedikah at all. They were something called bittul. Mishmur says, though, by day, you should check. You know, the kshafim concern was more at night, not by day. Okay. Kosel shen shamish mochamitz b'chorim v'nofel v'nase gav. I feel in a gavoa gimel tvachim kidei lechafisas chafisas kelev in tzarek livzok tachto. So you had chametz in a wall and it fell down. So now, even though it's not really three tvachim, an animal might be able to locate the chametz, push away the debris, you still don't have to do bedikah. Kivin sheyesh basakanas akrav, since it's dangerous, you might have an akrav, you live in a place where there are scorpions. So you know shluchi mitzvah in zakin, but maybe you're going to check a little more after you finish the bedika, and you're going to get injured by the scorpion. If you know there's chametz, not just the mitzvah chametz. You have to use the shovel to take out the chametz. If you knew there was chametz, because it wasn't three tvachim. If there is no sakana, if it's three tvachim of debris where the animals can't get it, so then so here you have a situation where you know there's chametz there, and you do bittul because it's like mevuar me'elav, because it's under a pile of debris, and there's no concern that you know you're going to come to eat it, and therefore bittul was sufficient. Obviously, you mean it because it's already avud from you, and the bittul works. And it means Rabbanan, there's no need for a bedika in this circumstance. Okay, Tess. Marativ shem esadvi vashuras shachavio zuit zozu, ashin ismala kulo. Vecho zvin esadvi nshuras achere shal tachtonos akor. This is the first mission of Sakim. Vein zarek livzok el shura al yona vachere salmata vimenet, ayinu shura al penik roka vartiv lo al kol shetach amartiv. Al yona ro es akora vez pesach shachara chere salmata vimenet. This is the equivalent I was describing before, where you have a machzan, you have a storage room, and the food is right at the beginning, that's where the fridge is. So you have to check the area where there's a chance you might have brought food, you know, in the middle of your meal with your pita, you left it there. But somewhere far off, you know, you don't go back to the back of this otsar of yain with your pita. You're going to get the first barrel that's available, presumably. I mean, again, theoretically, okay, this barrel is Chardonnay, and this barrel, this is you want the other type of wine, so maybe you're going to go to the back. You have to know the Matzias, but the assumption is that the person who's coming is going to take the first barrel that comes his way, and therefore, as such, he doesn't need to go further in to the Martev. He just checks the area that's likely would have chametz if it was forgotten, but not further in to the room. Okay. The mitzvah isn't only on a private home, it's also on a public area. So the gabbai has to make sure that the Beis Knesset, the Beis Medrash, is checked. Today it's not just tinokos, but if people have kiddushes, and there's often chametz in shul, so you have to make sure that the shul is checked. The Mishmur says you can say a bracha on this bedikah, but the pashas says that the gabbai at home should have kavana, and his bracha at home, and he should then come to the shul to check without a bracha. The chatzchilis do at night or on air, the whole thing. That's Takanas Chazal, but if they didn't check at night, they check by day. You know, check the shtenders, check the areas, check the kitchen, of course, in the shul. The pashas, you don't do a bittul because it's not your chametz. The gabbai doesn't own the chametz. The gabbai is just checking for the chametz that exists. Everybody did the bittul at home for their chametz, which included the chametz that they own that might be in the shul. You know, they have a box of crackers from the kiddush that they made, you know, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so they'll do bittul on that as well. But you have to chiyuv as a gabbai to make sure it's not around. Shema yavo the ochlo. Yud Aleph and Mechavei Chedro of Yud Gimel Menisan and Mechavei and Livto Chametz Levar Liza Shelo Hakni Sham Or Chametz. Very again, this is our reality. Most of us clean our homes before Yud Dalet, and we're careful not to bring in Chametz. Afa Pichei and Tzarek Livto Kvod Yud Dalet. Nonetheless, there's a mitzvah to check on Yud Dalet. But like I said, Rishon Zalman said that our minhag of not being so careful and checking so well comes to the fact that we already did check. So fundamentally, we checked. We want to become Tchanas Chazal, so we check again. But we don't check again, and we don't go overboard in our checking. You have to check your pockets. It's very relevant for children. Children put food in their pockets. Children, you know, in my machsan, just recently, one of my kids went on a tiol, so he brought up a knapsack, an old knapsack. They opened the knapsack. There was food from the previous tiyul, you know, saying so. Like, yeah, you have to. Kids aren't always so careful in terms of, you know, checking their bags and their pockets. So there's a din of making sure that there's no chametz even in the pockets and the like. I don't think the minhag is to check every pocket of your suit. Most of us don't put chametz in our pockets. I mean, you have to know the mitzvahs. You know, most adults. You know, you have 10 pairs of pants. You have to check every pants pocket. I don't think you have to do that. But if the reality is that the kids do, so then maybe they do have to check it. Again, if you went through the laundry, I don't know if you have to check it. But like, if it's not a bag that's sitting in the closet, so those, it's your knapsack that the kids have gone into yule, then there'd be more of a chashash and more of a reason to check. This